welcome to the program, Congressman Tim Walberg, joining us here live from the nation's capital. Congressman, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you as well. Thank you so much for taking the time and joining us here today. And I do want to eventually kind of circle back and talk about the comments earlier this week from the president and get your take on that. But, you know, first things first, you have introduced out of your committee your first bill. And let's talk about that. Let's start right there, right here this morning, Congressman.
Yeah, this week we had the organizing meeting, the first meeting of the Education Workforce Committee, of which I am privileged now to be the chairman of that committee, and looking forward to the next 2 years of working in that committee to continue to upgrade our opportunities for students across the nation, including in my district and in Michigan. I'll be talking with Governor Whitmer today, and that's one of the issues I want to talk to her about, along with whatever she wants to talk to me about that caused her to call me today. So it's an important area because without education, we don't have a good workforce, and without a good workforce, we don't have a country that can succeed and move forward. So whether it's small business or whether it's corporations, they all are challenged at this point in time with workforce, either getting them on their site or, number two, having them capable of growing in their employment. So we're working with that, and this week was a good week. We had the first bill that came out of our committee was a bill that the United States of America, its citizens want, and all the polling plus what took place in the elections with Donald Trump talking about the fact that biological males should not be competing against biological females on the athletic courts or in other areas of life, including the locker rooms and bathrooms of our facilities. And so the bill that came out was sponsored by my colleague from Florida, Greg Stube. I was the prime original co-sponsor along with him. But as a bill that said, we want to protect women and girls in sports, and we want to do that by using Title IX as it was intended and saying that there can be no biological male involved with girls or women's sports or in their locker rooms. And any school that allows that to happen will not receive federal funding. So it's pretty strong effort put on, and we had a pretty intense fight on the floor of the House. Only two Democrats joined us in supporting that legislation, but the others stood very strongly against us, saying that this would cause child molestation authorized by the government. We would have to check little girls and their physical bodies when nothing of the sort was in that legislation at all. It's very simple to determine whether you're a male or female by looking at your original birth document. And the birth certificate list, the biology of how you were born, that's all it takes. And we've done that for years before just recent times when craziness started to develop that where we could say, if you want to be a girl, you can call yourself a girl. And we don't treat that as a mental health issue or an emotional health issue. We just say, okay. But worse than that, we are now encouraging our young people to do these type of things in what's called transgendering. So the legislation passed out of the House. It's over in the Senate now. I know the Senate wants to pass it, and there'll be another battle over there. But the president wants to sign that and make sure that we follow science, and we do the right thing and the moral thing in moving our young people forward and allowing them what we've attempted to do with Title IX and giving women and girls a leg up to compete and to compete in a way that has grown 1,000% since 1972 when Title IX was put in place.
Well, yeah, like you said, at the root of this, at the absolute root of this is protection for females, for women and girls, protecting their rights, protecting their freedoms, and protecting fairness within athletic events. That's at the root of it all.
It is, absolutely. And it's sanity as well. I mean, it's just when I finished the debate on the floor and we passed it on to the full House, I got a text from Riley Gaines, who has, you know, been very out front and very courageous and has taken the slings and arrows of the trans movement against her in some very ugly, profane, nasty ways. But she just applauded the fact that we had done that, made this step forward, because she experienced it. I mean, here she is, a world-class swimmer, setting records, and all of a sudden she's competing a 6'4" biological male, Leo Thomas, who is taking away by, not even by actually winning, but tying her in a race. And the NCAA says it will look better if we give the trophy and the medal to Leah Thomas. That's just wrong. Just wrong. Plus the fact that Riley had to undress in a locker room with a 6'4" biological male standing there in all his undressed glory as well. That's just not what we want. And as a father of a daughter and a father and a grandfather of several granddaughters, I don't want that for my family, my female family members to have to experience that. I want them to be able to succeed in competing against their own gender and doing well, winning or losing, but not going crazy and having this type of thing come on in their lives. So we passed that, and now we'll see what the Senate does with it. But I think it was a good first bill to come from our committee and hit the floor of the House, because America said that they wanted this change as well and protection, not only by, as I said, the polling that's out there. Close to 80% of American citizens say it doesn't make sense to do it any other way than having females competing and being in the locker rooms with females and males competing with males and in the locker rooms with males. And never the two shall meet in that type of situation.
Obviously, the Senate's going to move at their pace on this, but I'm assuming you're anticipating this to pass the Senate.
Well, that's the challenge, because in the Senate, you have that 60-vote requirement. And we only got two Democrats to vote for the bill in the House. The Senate Republicans consist of 53 members. They need 60. So it's going to take a few Democrats to have a lot of pressure put on by straight-thinking citizens in their states. And I think that's capable right now. Wow, I just saw a helicopter fly over that looked like it was coming to my window.
Oh, wow.
I guess they're doing some training for the inauguration on Monday, what they might have to do. But he was flying low enough that he was level with my window. So here, as he goes across the front of the Capitol. So anyway, the Senate remains to be seen. We're going to do some work on that. We will certainly get citizens raised up to make contact with their Democrat senators, especially to say, hey, listen, this is just common sense, and we want you to carry it out. And if there's 80% of the people polled in the United States, basically, that say, this is what we believe, this is a no-brainer, I would hope that we would have the 60 votes necessary in the Senate. And President Trump is chomping at the bit to be able to sign that, because that was one of the key points he would make at his rallies, and applauded strongly by people of common sense. Wow, you got military hanging out the door of that helicopter with guns drawn. I guess they're running a full practice. So
wow,
hopefully that won't be needed.
Congressman, we're going to turn you into an on the spot reporter here in a second.
Well, that's the beauty of having a window that looks out onto the Capitol Dome here.
Wow. So. Wow. One more before we advance on to another topic here. Are you planning conversations with our senators, Slotkins and Peters? Do you have an idea as to which way they're going to go on this?
Well, I have my concerns, but yes, I will have I will have good conversations with them. Gary Peters is a senior senator now, and Lisa, I served with both of them in the House at one time or another. So we'll have a firm conversation with them. You know, I would find it hard to believe that they could take the same position as AOC, who point blank said that transgender girl is a girl. The mere fact you have to say transgender girl says that no, you don't come under the clean definition of what a woman or a girl is. And so I'm hoping that Senator Peters and Senator Slotkin will understand scientifically what we're talking about, and also understand that if the NCAA says there are only 10 NCAA athletes right now that fit into this setting, what's the big deal? We could turn that about and say, if there are only 10, why are you putting everybody else in a situation that they don't want to be in? And I think that's a common sense understanding, and hopefully our senators will understand that. And I think that's why your listeners, who would have some of the same concerns that 80% of the American people have about women having men competing against them in sports and joining them in the locker rooms and the shower rooms of the athletic facilities, I would hope that your listeners would be making contact to our senators as well, because in the end, that's who will give the punch and the strength to our two senators to do what they need to do.
Congressman Tim Walberg joining us here on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM. Well, Monday is going to be another inauguration for President Donald Trump. And are you going to be like right there in the front row? What are you expecting for Monday?
Well, I'll be right there on the platform. Okay. With the president and other members of the House and Senate and selected guests of the presidential family. And President Obama will be there, and the Bushes will be there, and the Clintons will be there. It'll be an exciting time. I've not missed an inauguration since I've been in Congress, whether it was a Republican who was being inaugurated or whether it was a Democrat being inaugurated. But I'm really looking forward to this year. And it'll be cold, and so you will probably be able to pick me out if the camera pans. I'll be the guy with the buffalo plaid hunter's hat with ear flaps on and a tie sticking out of top of my coat. But everything else underneath will be insulated. I've got my motorcycle electric vest that will be on. And I'm not going for style. I'm going for warmth. But we will be there on the platform.
Well, I can tell you could probably pick up some nice warm bibs from Knudsen's.
Yeah. Well, in fact, my wife will be wearing bibs. She'll be seated with the spouses down below the right below the rostrum, so they have great seats. But I told her, listen, Sue, you can indeed wear your ski bibs, and you will not be out of place. And so she will be wearing those plus the heated the electric vest as well that she uses when we ride in the cold on a motorcycle. So
right. Well, with this second inauguration for President Trump, I guess, Congressman, your view, what does this say? What does this mean for our country moving forward for the next 4 years?
Well, I tell you, we've already felt, even from Democrats, even some of the Democrat CNN media, a few of them are talking about a change in atmosphere that seems more hopeful. And I think they're feeling it because it's true, and you can't hide it. Businesses are feeling that. We're seeing major corporations, whether it be Ford or Walmart or right on down the list of those that had gone woke because they felt they were required to do that and had DEI departments and all of that, who have now walked away from it. Harley Davidson, of all things, was going woke and DEI. And I expressed my concern, being a Harley rider, to them, and they backed away from that. And why? Because there's a new sheriff in town. And I think right now, when you say the president, it's not automatic we think of Biden. Almost automatically, people are thinking when you say the president, you're thinking of Trump. Because his commanding presence, I believe, could be the producer of the result in the Middle East right now with a ceasefire agreement that Israel has voted just yesterday in their parliament to accept and to move forward on. I think what's happening with Ukraine and Russia right now, some of the movement toward a cessation, is a result of a strong man coming up and saying, we will take our place as United States, and we will author programs that will start to produce world security and peace again. We will do things in the realm of the business world that will make it opportune for business to expand and employees to be hired and trained and move forward on that. We will push for the continuance and permanence of the tax breaks that should have been made permanent back in 2017, but for the fact the Democrats wouldn't allow us to do that through a normal vote. Mm. We're going to be pushing that again, and I think that's giving hope to the American people. It's going to be messy. There are going to be plenty of battles that go on, and President Trump is a deal maker, and some of those deals that he will make, some of us will be a little bit concerned with at times, but by and large and generally, I think we will be put on a track that will start to pull us away from the negatives that we've been in for the past 4 years.
And finally, Congressman Wahlberg, joining us here on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM. The sitting president, President Biden, his farewell address. And I don't think it's uncommon for presidents to leave with some parting shots, and he threw his out there, it felt like, this week, Congressman.
Well, he did, and it was kind of sad to watch parts of it. I didn't watch the whole speech, but I think what was most concerning and sad was him trying to prop up his record. When he talks about securing the border and when he talked about growing the economy, it just isn't true. The amount of jobs he said he produced, those were just coming back after COVID. And the Tax Cut and Jobs Act that the president put through in 2017 was still in effect until the end of 2025. And that's what gave the stability of funding for the economy. And so for him to try to take credit for those things, I can't say nobody believed him. But his approval rating went down after that speech to the lowest he's ever had. And I think that's because people said, sorry, guy, no way. This has been a very difficult 4 years for us. Our gas prices, our grocery prices, the interest rates, the world scene that's going on. There's no way that you can say that you had a successful presidency and that it was a result of anyone else. The problems that you had. Afghanistan wasn't anybody else's problem. It was yours, what you did in the atrocious withdrawal that was embarrassing to the United States and to the free world, what happened. So, no, it was sad to watch. And I'm just looking forward to 3 days from now, that being in the rearview mirror.
Congressman Tim Wahlberg joining us here this morning on AM Jackson. Congressman, as always, we appreciate the visit. Enjoy your weekend, and hopefully you're able to stay warm Monday morning.
Well, you stay warm back there, because I look at the weather forecast for next week, and Michigan will be Michigan.
Yeah. Well, I have my bibs from Knudsen's. I'll be fine.
All right,
Congressman. We'll talk soon.